Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Let's start by going to the Gospel of John chapter 11. John chapter 11. We'll start there and we'll just see. We'll probably look at some other scripture tonight. John chapter 11. But I want to begin here and I just want to talk a little bit about taking your place in prayer. And what we're going to be talking about is how, you know, Jesus gave us a special place of prayer. And we're going to talk about that tonight. And we're going to just stir ourselves up to see what has been given us in this new covenant. Now, in the Gospel of John chapter 11, if you have it, say, I got it. Let's go to verse 40. The Bible says, Jesus said unto her, this is Martha, Lazarus' sister, said I not unto thee, if you would believe, you should see the glory of God. Well, hallelujah. I like that verse. If we believe, we're going to see the glory of God. Amen. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and he said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I knew that you hear me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that you have sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth bound, hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. And Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. How many know when people get saved, they need to be loosed and let go of some things sometimes. But what I want to talk about tonight, and I'll do it probably from different scriptures, but what I want to talk about tonight is how, you know, Jesus had a special prayer life. I've said this before, just humorously. We pray more over the offering than he did to raise somebody from the dead that had been dead for 4 days. Now, Lazarus, you know, he was bound with grave clothes and a napkin, the King James says, or a cloth was around his face. And what that indicates, this man had been, in the way they did it, he had been embalmed. But, and, you know, we think about, you know, if somebody's been embalmed, well, they're done for, but not when Jesus is around. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter, right? You know, it's just going to take the power of God. And he'd been dead for 4 days. And Mary said, by this time he stinks, you know. And Jesus said, wait a minute, didn't I tell you? If you believed, you would see the glory of God. And so Jesus says, he gets there to the tomb, and he just says, Father, I thank you. You've heard me, and I know you hear me always. And I'm only even saying this because of the people that are standing by, that they might know that you sent me. Now, you know, evidently, Jesus had already talked to the Father about Lazarus because he said, you've heard me. You've already heard me. No need to pray about this now. You've already heard me. So Jesus, he had a special, you know, relationship with God. You talk about seeing results in prayer. When a guy's been dead for 4 days, and you pray him out of there, that's a pretty special relationship in prayer. Jesus had some confidence in his prayer life. And he said, Father, I know that you hear me always. I know that. Yeah. I know that. Yeah. I know that. Now, you need to pay attention to that because that's going to mean something later on in our teaching as we look at another scripture. But Jesus said, I know you always hear me. Folks, that's going to be big in a little bit. I know you always hear me. Always. So, now, let's go to John 16, and let's just look at something there. John 16, and, ooh, thank God. See, I'm going to show you tonight what a place you have in prayer, but you got to know it. Right. If you don't know it, what you don't know doesn't do you any good. You know, I've told you the story several times, and I'm thinking it was Moody, Dwight L. Moody, who pastored the church in Chicago, that went to visit a lady in his church, an elderly lady that was living in poverty, and he went to visit her You know, he couldn't visit everybody in the church. They had so many in the church that he couldn't visit everybody, but he would tell his, you know, leadership team, if there's somebody you think I need to go see, then let me know and I'll go see them. Otherwise, you take care of it, you know. If there's an issue you think the pastor needs to address, then I'll go see it. And so this lady was in poor health, and they told him, they said, Pastor, she's been a member of the church for a lot of years, and, you know, I think that you ought to go see her. If, you know, I think it'd probably be good if you went to see her. So he went to see her, and she's living in poverty, but she had a document on the wall that was framed, and he asked her about it. He thought it looked suspicious, you know, when he got to reading it and looking at it. And he said, what is this on your wall? And she said, well, she said, I used to work for a wealthy couple, and the wife passed on, and I just continued working for the man. And before he passed on, he said he wanted to leave me something, and he left me this document. And she said, it's precious to me. And Mr. Moody said, can I take it and have it examined and checked out? He said, I think there's something here. She said, well, yeah, you can just make sure that you bring it back. Well, he found out that what it was, I don't understand this, but it was stock. It gave her stock into a company that this man owned. And the woman was wealthy. She was worth millions. But she didn't know it. And she's living in poverty, and all these years, she's been a millionaire. You know, there's a lot of Christians that way, that they are wealthy, but they just don't know it. So what you don't know, you can't partake of. So if you don't know God heard you, then like Jesus knew God heard him, then you won't be able to have that relationship, that prayer life, the blessings that God wants you to have. And I'm going to show you that from the Scriptures here in just a little bit. But I want you to read with me. Here's John chapter 16. You got it? Verse 23 says, Jesus said, and in that day you'll ask me nothing. Now the day he's talking about, when you read this, is the day of his resurrection. And so when he's resurrected, he said, you'll ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Up till now, hitherto, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. So Jesus said, up till this time, anything you needed, you ask me. And I went to the Father and got it for you. But he said, from now on, after my resurrection, you'll ask me nothing. Whatever you ask the Father, he will give it to you. And he went on to say, verse 25, these things I've spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time will come when I will no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. Talking about his resurrection. And at that day, you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father and am coming to the world, and again, I'm leaving the world and I'm going to the Father. So Jesus said, look, I came here from heaven and I'm in the world, but I'm going to leave and go back to the Father. And in that day, you don't have to ask me anything. Whatever you ask the Father, he'll give it to you because he loves you like he loves me. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. See, even in his high priestly prayer in the next chapter in John, he prayed in John 17, 23, he said, I and them and you and me, that we may be perfect in one, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me and you have loved them as you have loved me. So Jesus said, the Father loves you like he loves me. Once I'm gone, you guys are going to be the ones on the earth to do the asking, not me. I'm going to give you my name. And whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give it to you. Now, if you get a revelation of this, it's going to make you bolder in prayer. See, Jesus has given us a special place in prayer alongside himself. That's what he just did here. He said, I'm going, but I'm going to give you. See, the disciples understood that Jesus had a pretty powerful prayer life. Now, I did this. I looked at this one time, and I did a study on this, and I went through the Gospels, and I read every place where Jesus prayed, every incident, from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And what I found out was when Jesus would pray, you'd see power associated close by every time. Amen. He depended on prayer to guide his life and to give him power. You know, the Bible tells us there's only one time the Bible says he prayed all night, and that was before he picked his disciples. He wanted to get it right. And here's some encouragement. He didn't pick the most educated, wealthy, brightest people on the planet. You know, there's a big difference between mental brightness and spiritual brightness. A huge difference. I'm not saying you can't have both, but I'm just saying if I had to choose, I'll take the knowledge of God. Hallelujah. Amen. And so, you know, now listen, you can have both. The Word of God will make you wise in the natural just as well as the Spirit as you feed on it. You know, anybody know what Proverbs is for? So you get some wisdom, right? Proverbs is full of the wisdom of God. It tells you how to handle your money, how to handle life, how to handle your marriage. Amen. It teaches you about sex. It does? Yeah, you ought to read it. There's a lot of good things in Proverbs. It teaches a lot of things about relationships with people, with authority. Amen. So, you know, you ought to read the book of Proverbs. Glory to God. Amen to that is right. You know why? Because it's just going to help you. It's just going to benefit you. Amen. And so, you know, so there's a lot of things that we miss simply because we don't read the book. Even in Proverbs, it tells us to wait daily at wisdom's gate. Hey, where do we get wisdom from? We get it from the Word of God. Amen. You know, there's a lot of things that are pushed today by the news media, by politicians, that I just happen to know aren't true. They're not true. You know why I know they're not true? Because I read the Bible. Now, to them, I'm a real idiot, you know, because I believe the Bible over them. I believe the Bible over science. Yes, I believe the Bible over science. And let me just say this to you. True science and the Bible never contradict one another. And any time the Bible and science contradict, guess who's wrong? Exactly right. The science is wrong. Amen. So I happen to know that, we're not going to burn up, we're not going to have a global warming meltdown and the earth's going to be, you know, we got dear politicians going around saying we got 12 years left. Well, I happen to know that's not the truth because I read the Bible. Hallelujah. You know, and it doesn't say that Jesus is going to put his feet on a crispy critter. It says the Mount of Olives. That's right. Now see, to them, people like you and I are dangerous because we are so gullible and so dumb and so stupid that we believe a book that's thousands of years old. Well, let's just say this, that book's track record's a lot better than anybody else's. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. There's some things this book told us about. Christopher Columbus, you know, he didn't have to find out the world was round. The Bible already said it. That God sits on the horizon, amen, on the circumference, excuse me, of the earth, circle. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you with me now? But see, today you get banned from Twitter, from Facebook, and from other, I'm not on Facebook, so they can't ban me. I mean, they could the church is on there, but I'm not on there. But, you know, for just telling the truth. And, you know, because today the truth is so abrasive because it just rebukes so much of what society really believes now. It just rebukes it. Amen. Amen. And thank God for it. Hallelujah. You're not politically correct. No, never have been, never will be. I'd rather be BC, biblically correct. Amen. Come on, are you all alive tonight? Amen. Amen. I don't have a dog and pony show, so this is it. I mean, this is as good as it's going to get. So, all right. Now understand, see, what is Jesus telling us here in these verses? Well, he's giving us a special place alongside himself in prayer. You know, We have the same, listen now, this is powerful. We have the same praying privileges as Jesus. We need to pray from our seated place. The Bible says that Christ is seated far above all principality, power, might, and dominion. And we've been seated with Him. We need to pray from that place of authority. Not. Some people are praying from a place of trying to get God to do something. And God is already done something. We need to pray from our place of authority.
Amen.
Amen. And realize that you know, we've been given something that the devil doesn't have, demons don't have, the world doesn't have, only those who believe in Jesus have, and that is asking privileges with the Father. Glory be to God. You know, God's already said in Psalms, He said, if I needed something, I wouldn't ask you. Psalm 50. God said, if I need something, I'm not going to ask you. Well, I own the cattle on 1,000 hills, not 1,000 cows on a hill. I love that story. A friend of mine, I've told you, he was sitting in a restaurant, and this Christian was witnessing to this lost guy, and he told him, he said, you know what? He said, God owns 1,000 cows on a hill. That's what that Christian told the lost guy. And my friend thought, I've got to get up and correct this. God, that he said, Ben Cartwright's got more cows than that. He said, I've got to get up and correct this. He said, but I heard that sinner go, really? He thought, well, I'll leave it alone. He's impressed. Well, how many know God owns it all, right? Yes. If he needed anything, he said, if I was hungry, I wouldn't ask you. So we have asking privileges with somebody who can do something about it. But Jesus said, I know. This is real important, folks. I know that you hear me always. He didn't say, I guess about, we'll see. If anything happens, I don't know God heard me. See, some people approach that, well, how will I know, Pastor, if God heard me? Well, people say, well, if it changes and I'll know God heard me. Well, that's not a good way to go by it. See, that's the wrong way, see. People say, you know, we used to, years ago, the people say, oh, I feel God tonight. Well, that's good. I like feelings. How many like feelings? And I'm not going to lie to you. There's times I feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. There's times I feel His power. I don't shun that. I love it. But you know what? Whether I feel that or not, I still got a promise. Right? How many know in marriage, you know when you first get married or you first meet one, there's those feelings and all, but you're still married whether you feel those feelings or not. At 50 years later, you're still just as married. Yeah. And you may be deeper in love, but you may not have all the emotions. You know, it's like a minister, he said one time, he was teaching what not to say. He said, I'd been married for 2 weeks and I told my wife, I said, I just don't feel married. He said, it got real quiet. She said, she didn't say anything the rest of the day. He said, at the end of the day, she told me, and she called him by his name. She said, even if you don't feel married, you better act like it.
Amen.
That's a revelation, isn't it? Even if you don't feel like God's told you the truth, you better act like it. Because God cannot lie. Hallelujah. Right? You know, I've just learned if something doesn't come to pass, either I didn't believe it, or you know, I didn't rightly divide the word and find out what was really promised me. Come on, you know, or I'm in strife and unforgiveness, and my prayer life's being hindered and blocked. But I know it's not God's fault. Amen. He's good to His word. How many know that? He keeps His word. Praise God. Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Now, all right, go with me to James chapter 5, because this is something we got to touch on. Now, don't forget now, because we're going to come back to that, that you have to, Jesus said, I know that you hear me. I know you hear me. James chapter 5, go there. Come on, are you getting anything tonight?
Yes.
James chapter 5, go there. Just a little teaching on taking your place in prayer. Jesus has given us a place, a special place in prayer. He gave it to us In John chapter 16, he's given us a special place in prayer where we're right alongside him. The Father loves us like he loves Jesus, and we have the same praying privileges as Jesus does and did. Hallelujah. You know, my wife has the same checking privileges that I do. Matter of fact, she probably knows a little bit more about how to get it out, because I don't do that. I don't write checks. I mean, I'm not saying I never have, but usually it takes me two or three sometimes to get it right. And so it's just like, don't do that. Don't write checks. You know, so you know what I'm saying? There's times I have to ask her what bank we bank at. Because it's just... So, but yeah, the money's in my name. We both have the same, you know, as long as I learn how to get it out. Amen. You know, as long as I learn how to get it, how to get it out. I mean, it's mine just as well as it is hers. It's hers just as well as it's mine. She's got checking privileges. We got the same praying privileges as Jesus. Amen. Come on, do you believe this tonight? Or am I? This ought to excite us a little bit, man. I mean, when you think about it, I mean, he's the guy that went to the tomb and said, I know you hear me, you always hear me, Lazarus, come forth. And he'd been dead for 4 days and came out. I don't know. If that don't excite you, I don't have anything to help you for 10,000 years. And we'll just be getting started. You know what I'm saying? Because that's exciting to me. As I thought about this today, I thought, man, this is putting some fire in my prayer life to believe, you know, what I pray is going to come to pass. Now, in James chapter 5, look with me, because this is an area, you know, the devil will always try to, you know, we talked about, we used that scripture Sunday morning on how he's the accuser of the brethren, and, you know, he'll always try to accuse you to God, accuse you to yourself, accuse you to one another, and we need to learn to overcome that. Now, in verse 15 of James 5, it says, the prayer of faith shall save the sick, the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they will be forgiven him. So that's pretty easy. And then God said, all right, if you're sick, I'll pray the prayer of faith, over you, I'll raise you up, and if you sin, I'll forgive it. You know, God's ready to forgive. It isn't all that hard. You know, I had a friend, he was in a foreign country, I'll leave it unnamed, but he was in a foreign country, and he said, I'm sitting on this bench outside of this church, a particular church in that country, a Christian denomination church, you know. And he said, I watched this guy, and he is walking on his knees and going up the steps, and he's got his knees, his breeches, you know, wore through and blood coming out of his knees. And so, you know, he talks to the missionary, and the missionary said, well, he's doing penance for his sin. Repentance for his sin. How many of them, your blood won't forgive your sin? It took the blood of Jesus. And so God's ready to forgive, amen? He said, verse 16, confess your faults or your trespasses one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. In other words, if you've done somebody wrong and you know you've done somebody wrong and they know they've done them wrong, go get it cleared up. Right? It doesn't mean go confess all your sins to the whole church. That could be a mistake. Because some people won't forget them. And some people will remind you of them. Hey! Not everybody's Sister Pentecost wanting to help you. Now, in this church, that might be different. But, you know, we're just talking worldwide, the church. No, because, you know, people have taken us, well, I'm going to stand up before the church pastor and confess all my sins. No, you're not. Not as long as I'm pastor. Your reputation may never come back. I'm going to help you. You're not going to do that. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, but, you know, thank God there's good people that want to help you. You know, that's what my pastor says, Dr. Barclay. He said if it wasn't for the church, you know, when he got saved and getting around good people trying to help him, you know, because he was still doing a lot of wrong things. I mean, he was still drinking. You know, he was still doing things after he got saved. He was just bound, you know. But thank God for good people that didn't judge him and loosed him and let him go. Hallelujah. You know, what got him delivered from alcohol was an old Pentecostal lady in the church. She said, "Is that alcohol I smell on your breath?" "Yes." He said, "Ma'am," he said, "I am fasting. I'm fasting to get free of this. You know, I'm fasting food and I'm not eating. I'm fasting to get free of this." She said something to deliver. She said, "Sounds like to me you're fasting the wrong thing. Food's not your problem." It lit something up inside of him. So he decided, "I'm going to go on a fast. I'm going to go a whole day without drinking." And he did. And he thought, "I'm going to go 2 days." And then he went a week. Then he went 2 weeks. He said, I'd go the day without drinking a beer. He said, then, you know, the day was over, I'd go get me a beer. And he said, "I'd let pastor know. I made it the whole day." And his own pastor were trying to, well, he said, "Mark, tomorrow try to do 2 days the next time." He said, finally, he said, "I called my pastor up and said, 'Pastor, it's been 2 months.'" And he said, "I'm not going back."
Amen.
You know, there's good people to help you, right? Thank God for that. And so, you know, God's ready to forgive you. Amen. 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 Now, notice this. He says, verse 16, "Confess your faults one to another, pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." Now, I like the Amplified Bible. It says it makes much power available. Available. You say, "Well, Pastor, if I could ever be that righteous man." Well, wait a minute here. Read on, verse 17. "Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are." Now, the New King James, I like the way it says it. It says, "Elijah had a nature just like ours." You know, and we respect and we honor these old prophets in the Bible and so forth and all, and on. And they were committed to God, there's no doubt about it. But they were people just like we are. They had issues just like we do. They missed it just like we do. Come on, are you with me? That's what he's saying. He said, look, he was a man with a nature just like yours, but he was considered righteous. Notice this. "And Elijah was a man subject like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit." What is he trying to tell us here? He's trying to tell us that if we're righteous, we can have an effectual prayer life. Well, how do I know if I'm righteous? Are you born again? It's the blood that makes you righteous. The Bible says that we enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. And remember, the scripture just come. They're all over the place. 2 Corinthians 5:21. "He made him who knew no sin," that being Jesus, "to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." In other words, he took our sin and gave us his righteousness. Now, how many believe that if the righteousness of God prays, God will probably hear that? Wasn't that what Jesus was, is? He was the righteousness of God praying. We just have to learn to, you know, the Bible talks about a breastplate of righteousness. You know, protects your heart. Amen. Because the devil will try to condemn you. Well, you're not perfect. Well, you know what? Elijah wasn't either. Neither was any of the other prophets. As a matter of fact, Jesus said this. You know, now here's the interesting thing. I was reading through this. I think it's Jeremiah 15. And talks about, you know, if God was so mad at Israel. Thank God his mercy endureth forever.
Yes, yeah.
But he was so aggravated at Israel. He said about the people of that day, he said, "If Moses and Samuel stood before me, my mind couldn't be changed about these people." And then one place, I think it's in Ezekiel, he said, "If Daniel and Noah were in the land, they're the only ones that would live." Now, you know, I thought about that. I thought, you know, God, you know, he thought a lot of these guys. Think about this. Moses changed his mind, right? Remember Moses, God was going to wipe out everybody. And Moses said, you know, of course, you know, he went to him and he said, "God, if you do that, here's what's going to," he knew how to plead his case. He said, "God, if you do that, here's what's going to happen. The Egyptians are going to say, the only reason you killed them is because you couldn't get them into the promised land. So you just decide I'll kill them because I can't get them in." Can you imagine somebody talking to God like this? You know, and there's one place God said, let me alone. And literally, modern English, get out of my face. Could you imagine if God told you to get out of your face, what would you do? I think I'd book it. But Moses just stays there and he says, no, if you're going to destroy them, destroy me. And God said, hey, listen, I'll pardon because of your word. Amen. You know, Samuel, you see his prayer life. He had a great prayer life. I mean, you read about it. You know, the Bible said when he would come into the city that the elders would tremble. Is he coming peaceably? Because they knew he had a prayer life, and if he called on God, you could be in some big trouble. All right? But here's what Jesus said. He said the greatest prophet of the old covenant was John the Baptist. And he that's least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John. Now I see that pitiful look on your face. It's like, are you trying to tell me I'm greater than John the Baptist? No, Jesus told you that. Not because of you, but because of the blood. Woo, hallelujah. Because of the blood of Jesus. We just don't give the blood its due honor, its due respect, and recognize what it's done for us. It's put us in a position with God that the Old Testament saints, the Bible says that they tried to figure out, they tried to see the grace that would be brought to us. And the Bible says angels desire to look into it. My gosh, how could God take these people that were under the dominion of the devil and raise them to be seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus and make them the righteousness of God and make every one of them greater than the greatest prophet in the Old Testament? How could it happen? It's the power of the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes people think, you know, they'll think, well, if pastor will pray or brother so-and-so pray or sister this or so will pray. You know what? You have just as much authority to pray yourself.
Come on.
I had a lady call me one time, and I didn't do this out of meanness, and I wasn't mean. I was nice to her, but I thought she needed to be set straight about this. She said, I am witnessing to this person, Pastor, and I've almost got him to accept the Lord. Will you go lead him to the Lord? I said, no, I won't. I said, you've almost got him. God's using you. I may show up, and they may not even like me. That's hard to believe, isn't it? You know, there's some people don't like certain, I mean, you know what I'm saying? There's some people don't like certain people's personalities. Well, I mean, we used to have a lady come to our meetings and she didn't like me at all, but I don't know why she kept coming. She didn't like me. She even told me one time, I don't like you. That's pretty plain. And I'd given her a prophetic word. I didn't even know her at the time, to be honest with you. I didn't know who she was. I'd given her a prophetic word about her family, and it was right on. She said to me after the service, I can't believe God used you to prophesy to me about my family. She says, I don't like you. Well, I'm not so sure I like you now, lady, but, you know, we were fine until you opened your mouth. But, you know, that's all right, right? You know, so everybody doesn't like everybody's personality. All right, I get that. I'm fine with that. Some people don't like my personality. That's fine. Sometimes I don't like it. But it is what it is, all right? You know. So anyway, see, what we need to know is every one of us that have the blood of Jesus have been given the same asking privileges of the Father. I think, man, if I could just get, you know, when I remember when Oral Roberts was on the earth, we were like, man, I wish, you know, Oral needed 23 million. We needed 2,300. We're thinking, Oral, get done so we can get to the throne. You know, but we had, you know, we had just as much right to approach God with our 2,300 as he did his 23 million. Amen. And God heard us. If we believe, God heard us just as much as he did Oral Roberts. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I don't know why I'm saying Oral Roberts, but he was, you know, he was pretty well known. How many know that? All right. You know what? Listen, let's go to 1 John chapter 5. I hope you got something tonight. 1 John chapter 5. See, this will put a fire in your prayer life when you know that, you know, you've got asking privileges. Hallelujah. You got the same right as Jesus and same privileges as he had to go before the Father and pray. And God will hear you. See, religious people aren't going to accept this. There's going to be all kinds of people that if they heard this, they would not accept this, church people. But it's the truth. God will hear you just as much as he will hear Jesus.
That's right.
Yeah. Amen. You know, if we have time, I'll show you something else. But let's go to John, 1 John chapter 5. Look with me. Now, before we read it, let's go back. Don't go back in your Bibles, but let's go back to where Jesus was at Lazarus' tomb, and he said, "Father, I thank you. You have heard me, and I know." Remember that? That you hear me always. I know that. All right, that's real important. Look at this, 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. John said, "This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will or his word, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know we have the petitions that we desired of him." All right, what are the two things we've got to have here? We've got to ask according to his will, and we have to know he heard us.
Amen.
"Father, I thank you that you've heard me, and I know." What is it? That's confidence. That's boldness in prayer. That's taking your place in prayer, knowing you have a right to be there and that God will hear you. This is the same John that was there that day when Jesus said it. He was there. He was right there when Lazarus came forth. He saw that. He heard Jesus say, "Father, I thank you. You've heard me, and I know you hear me always." He saw that boldness. He saw that confidence. And now he's telling us, you got to have the same thing. You got to ask according to the will of God, which is the Word. And two, you got to know that he heard you. Amen. See, to know means you got to be certain. Amen. One translation says this, where it says, if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know we have the petitions that we've desired him. One translation, well, a paraphrase really, it says this, I like this. It says, if we know that he heard us, it's as good as ours. Hallelujah. It's as good as ours. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Now, we've got just a few minutes here. I want to talk to you because you understand, a lot of people think that, you know, pastor prayed or brother so-and-so on TV prayed or, you know, man, God would move. See, the reason why God would move if pastor prayed or brother so-and-so prayed is because brother so-and-so or pastor believed God heard him. And the only reason he wouldn't move if you prayed is if you don't believe he heard you. But you got to know you have rights. Are you with me now? See, you got to know you belong. I'm telling you, folks, I hope you don't just dismiss us because this is simple, but it's real important. If you don't get this, that you know God heard you and you have a right to be there, you won't have any confidence. See, the Bible says come boldly to the throne. Not timidly. Amen. You ever been someplace you felt like you didn't belong? And you know how you feel, right? Amen. Phyllis and I felt that way one night. We were at a meeting with a friend of ours. And he was, you know, he's a well-known minister. And he knew well-known ministers. And so, you know, at the end of this meeting, he took us back in this room to eat with the preacher, you know, the ministers in, and you got all these well-known people, and we're thinking, nobody knows us. Our dog bites us if we come on. He don't even know us. No, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know, it's just like, you just don't feel, you remember that night? You just, huh? Yeah, I was in Branson. You just don't feel like, you know, I'm not sure I belong here. You know, now he belongs here, and I'm here because I'm his friend. I'm not sure I belong here. You know what? Listen, God loves you, and you belong at his throne. He said to come boldly. He didn't say all preachers come boldly, all pastors come boldly. He said you come boldly. That is so important. That is so. If you don't get that, then you're always going to be kind of like timid and not bold in your prayers. And not leaving thinking, wondering, did God hear me? Well, if you did it the way He said, He heard you. If we know He hears us. Amen? Amen. Now, let's go to 3 John, because I don't know, I wasn't going to talk about this, but I think I will. Because there is one issue, you know, that can hinder your prayer life that I think you need to know about. Because listen, you know, a lot of people think, well, if I was just perfect like pastor. Well, pastor's not perfect to start with. Thank you for your confidence, but you know, I'm almost perfect, but not quite. How many know everybody can deal with the same accusations of the same devil? You know, oh man, you know, you're just not spiritual enough. You know, it didn't say you had to be spiritual enough. It said you have to be in Christ.
Amen.
Now you tell me, God will consider you spiritual enough to accept you in Christ, but not let you come to His throne to ask for anything. See, that doesn't make sense. Hello? See, we got to watch it. There's a line here, and we got to watch it. There's a line of looseness. There's a line of legalism. But what God has is liberty. Not, and this isn't a word, but I'll use it. Not loosism. Maybe it should be a word. You know what I'm saying? Where we just, because you know, you meet the Christian and say, well, I'm forgiven. I can just do anything I want to. Well, see, listen, here's the thing. I'm really questioning your relationship with God if that's your heart. I don't know that you're really saved. I think maybe you prayed a prayer and thought you got saved. But if you truly got saved, you have a heart to follow God.
Yes.
Right? But in that journey, sometimes we do miss it. Is that right? Sometimes we sin. Aren't you glad Jesus or John said it this way? If we do sin, we can confess our sins. Aren't you glad He said, if we do sin, we have an advocate with the Father? Aren't you glad He didn't say, if you sin, it's over with? Aren't you glad He did? How many glad that's there in 1 John 2, chapter 2, where He says, if we do sin, we have an advocate.
Yeah.
Now, here's what I find about people that really love God. They're not just looking to go out and sin.
Right.
When they do sin, it's normally because they let their flesh trip them up.
Right.
Now, when you do let your flesh trip you up, what should you do? You should just ask God to forgive you. Repent. And then the blood of Jesus, the Bible says, it cleanses us from all sin. Hallelujah. It's just working in our lives. See, amen. See, there, now you got to watch because I'm watching some of our brethren get a little bit over. I've seen some of our brethren get over to the line here of looseness, but I'm seeing some of them get over here to the line of legalism. Right? I'm not going to find out I'm saved when I get to heaven. I know I'm saved now.
Right.
You got that?
Yes.
That's that. I know I'm saved now. Why do I know? It's because I did what the Bible said. It says, if I confess Jesus as Lord, amen, and believe in my heart that God raised Him from the dead, I shall be saved.
Amen.
Amen. I went to pray for a lady one time, and she was a Christian. But she was just really confused. And she said, you know, I just don't believe you can be saved. No, you're saved until you die. I told her, I said, it's a little late for me. I want to know before I die.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. And I tried to tell her, you know, that's not what the Bible says. You know, I was respectful because she was my elder. And you should always be respectful to your elders. Mama raised me that way and the Bible taught me that. Right? So I was respectful, but I did try to give her a little Bible lesson on how we can know we're saved. Amen.
Amen.
Now, do you find 1 John chapter 3? We'll close right here. Verse 18 says, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. In other words, don't just say words, but do things. And hereby we know that we're of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God's greater than our heart, and he knows all things. In other words, if you're going to prayer and your heart's giving you a problem, God knows more than your heart. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God. And whatever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Now, verse 23 tells us the commandments that John's talking about. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ. Anybody here done that? Then you've kept that part of the commandment, right? Right? Now here's the next part. And love one another as he gave us commandment. See, the one thing that'll mess your prayer life up quicker than anything else is when you don't walk in love. When you walk in strife, you walk in unforgiveness, you don't treat people right.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Not just at church. We're glad you treat people right at church. Praise the Lord. But how many know out there in the world, you have to treat people right. Now see, here's the thing about walking in love. Let me just say this, because, you know, the world's muddied up love. You know, they use the phrase, you know, love is love. Well, okay, what is love? Well, here's the world's definition of love. Love means you give me whatever I want and you tolerate everything I do. That's it. Here's God's definition of love. Love doesn't give you what you want. It gives you what you truly need. You may not want the truth, but love will give you the truth. Speaking the truth in love, Ephesians 4:15. In other words, I would tell you the truth because I love you. Right? Now, that doesn't mean I go around telling everybody the truth. You got to be wise enough to know where God's given you influence and where he hadn't. Don't cast your pearls before the swine. But God's given me influence in people's lives. Now, this is a stranger on the street, you know. I don't just necessarily walk up to him and blast him with the truth. Some of you will get that, but I learned this a long time ago. If you listen to the Holy Ghost, you'll have a whole lot more fruit. Amen. And so, what do you mean you don't give him truth? You mean you don't witness to him? No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying I don't correct all of his dumb theology, all of his wrongs. You got to catch the fish before you clean it. You see, I see too many Christians trying to do that. You know, they'll meet believers and unbelievers, and they believe in all kinds of weird stuff. And so, we're going to try to correct the whole thing. Forget it, man. Just preach the good news to them that Jesus died for them. Catch the fish, and then we'll clean it later.
Amen.
So I didn't know you had to clean fish. Well, you do. You have to, well, it depends on where you're at. You have to scale them. You have to gut them. I like to cut their heads off, but, you know, I've been in places they don't do that. But I always feel bad for the fish when it's looking at you when you're eating it, you know. It would always gross Phyllis out when you go overseas. And, you know, a lot of those places, they don't cut the head off. And so she's like, I ain't eating anything with the head still on it. And you look over there and the missionary's got the head ripped off and raking the rice on her fork with the fish's head, you know. It's not bothering them any. That's a true story, by the way. That happened. It feels like, I don't eat anything with the head still on. Amen. We got to close. Anybody watch that? What was that? What was that show? That Christmas thing, the Christmas show, where Christmas Story, where they bring the duck out with the head on, and, you know, and it's like, ah, and the chop. That's the way Phyllis says, don't bring the fish out with its head on, chop it off. All right. Now, here's the thing. See, sometimes the devil will, the accuser of the brethren. Well, you're just not spiritual enough. You're not holy enough. That's not what the Bible said. The Bible said the blood makes you righteous. All right? But you do need to know the one thing that will cause your heart to lose confidence is when you don't walk in love. When you don't walk in love. That's the commandment. The Bible says if we walk in love, if we keep the love commandment, we keep all the law. Right? See, I'm not going to commit adultery if I'm walking in love.
Amen.
It's wrong to my wife, and it's wrong to the person that I would do it with.
Right.
I'm not going to lie if I'm walking in love. I've done you wrong by lying to you. I'm not going to steal. I'm not going to do those things if I'm walking in the love of God.
Amen.
I'm not going to do them. So if you keep the commandment of love, just to walk in love, what is love? Love, the Bible says, works no ill to its neighbor.
Yeah.
It does good to people. Yeah. Amen. Did you get something tonight?
Yeah.
So listen now, as we close this out, listen now, I want to say this again. Jesus had a special prayer life. He did. He had great boldness. He had great confidence. He had a special prayer life. Amen. And Jesus has given us the special place in prayer alongside Himself. He said, I'm not going to ask the Father. Up till this time, I've asked the Father for you. I'm not doing it any longer. After that day, after I'm resurrected, I'm not asking the Father for you any longer. You ask the Father. And whatever you ask, He'll give it to you just like He gave it to me, because He loves you just like He loves me. Wow. Wow. You know what? You don't get that just in the natural. You got to get that by revelation. Because that's too deep. That's too rich. Amen. See, the Bible, even Paul in Ephesians says, the love of God which passes understanding. What does that mean? It's too rich for a man's mind. A man can't grasp it. He's got to get it by revelation. But once you get it, praise God, you know God heard me. Hallelujah. Now, when you know God heard you, guess what? Guess what? Time doesn't offend you any longer. Right? What do you mean time? Because if you know He heard you, you know you ask according to His will, you know it's coming.
Amen.
And time doesn't offend you any longer. I think it was Andrew Murray said, and you got to leave this in the proper balance, but he's talking about praying your own personal prayer life, asking for God for things. There's some things we pray over and over again, but there's some things if we've asked God for it, well, Andrew Murray said it's bad taste to ask for it again. He said next time just go back and thank God and remind Him you've asked for that. Thank you, Lord. But you know what? Until you get that, I know God heard me, you'll always let time offend you. It's like, well, time's passing. God hasn't brought it yet. See, that's really doubt. It is. But once you get, I know God heard me, then you just, well, it's in His hands, you know. He'll get it here.
Amen.
At due proper time. It's like this is my last story. I'm past time. Amen. But this is my last story. It's like a minister that I knew for a number of years was needing an airplane because of the way he traveled. It wasn't just a show thing. He needed it. And, you know, some time had gone by. And he said, Lord, he said, I just want to talk to you about that airplane. You know, he said, you know, I ask you for it, believing for it. He said, but, you know, it's been a while. And the Lord said, I've talked to 100 people to help you, and none of them have obeyed me. He said, when it's finances, God uses other people. He doesn't counterfeit money in the back room of heaven. You know, Gabriel doesn't look like, God, that's good-looking stuff. I mean, that looks like the real thing. I don't think anybody will notice on earth that that's not real. I mean, God's not a counterfeiter. So, you know, he said that, you know, that the Lord said, I've talked to 100 people. He said, but you just stay put. I'm going to get it to you. And God did get it to him. It took longer than what he liked, but once you ask God, how many know, and you know He heard you, He's working on it. He's working on it. Thank God for it. Hallelujah.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.